Mike coming up a little bit later on. Dan Collins also going to stop by from Bonaventure Stable. They have one in today. They may have some coming up as well, if not in the next few days, certainly as the meet progresses. We'll talk with Dan a little bit about Bonaventure and more. Scheduled to kick things off with Mike Rapoli, and I got a late scratch notice. Mike, he might have had some horses working, but Mike couldn't make it. We're going to try to reschedule and see if we can pull him in tomorrow, because we'd love to talk about the big win last weekend with Nest and nice win a few weeks ago down at Belmont in the Belmont Stakes. Today, of course, he has Fearless in, Be Better Tomorrow in the Curlin, Dynamic One maybe in the Whitney. I'd be curious about that. But, again, we'll see if we can juggle things up and get Mike in sooner rather than later. But, again, late scratch for this morning, so that leaves you and I here, and I thought maybe we could take a look at some of the Saturday action. Like, not only here, but with, we mentioned it earlier, the San Diego is the Pacific Classic prep out of Del Mar.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing that, you know, last weekend, a great weekend in racing, you know, Monmouth Park's Day in the Sun, a couple of Spend a Buck's track record no longer exists, broken twice. Kind of gives you a little I also pointed out yesterday on the show, Seth, that in those two breaking of the 9 furlong dirt record, which it had stood for 37 years, twice the third quarter was run sub 23, which is, you can count on your hand the number of times that's ever happened, I would think. I haven't done the data yet, but I'm going to look up to see some 9 furlong races. You know, and I thought Cyberknife was big, but now you think, like, at other times of year, you know, you kind of get a little pause. Oh, no, because Saratoga's got grade ones. They have grade ones out at Del Mar, and very, very key races for the present and very key races for, obviously, you know, I hate to say this on beautiful summer days, Seth, especially when the Breeders' Cup is going to be at a cool place, but the Breeders' Cup, and yeah. I'm right probably just the right amount of times for myself, Seth. I dislike being right about my idea about the jumping off point for the Breeders' Cup. You know, if somebody asks me $1 when Flightline runs in the Pacific Classic, that's it to the Breeders' Cup. We might have some horses in here. I think it's true. And I think it's sad, but, you know, what it will be on Saturday, let's start with the home court. Remember, there was no grade ones at 6 furlongs until the Breeders' Cup sprint. Then there wasn't a second 6 furlong grade one until the DeFrancis Dash. We have 2 6 furlong grade ones on Saturday.
And the kicker is, sprinting is such a key component to American racing.
And 6 furlongs for many years was by far the most popular distance of all the races. But that's the Graded Stakes Committee for you. But here we have the Vanderbilt. 6 furlongs. The champ is in here, Jackie's Warrior. Boy, the sprinter Steve Aspius has had the last decade.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just strength, the strength, the strength.
And it looks like it's going to go through Jackie's Warrior. I mean, you know, threw in a little bit of a clunker in the Breeders' Cup sprint last year, but other than that, this horse just been phenomenal and certainly has a very, very good record up here at Saratoga. 4 for 4, comes out of the win in the True North. With the triple-digit buyer and Joe Rosario back on board, it's going to be hard to get past Jackie's Warrior. New York Traffic, though, could provide a little bit of competition. Last time was over at Penn National in a $100,000 stake. Before that, a triple-digit buyer facing Statebreds as a New York bred in the Affirmed Success, which kind of got him back on track after the dud, 3 starts back behind Speaker's Corner in the Gulfstream Park Mile. So it's come back from that now. It's put a couple of nice races together. And as I say, maybe provides a little bit of punch and a little bit of competition to Jackie's Warrior. But, boy, it really looks like it's going to go through the champ.
You know, the other 5 horses never stepped on Saratoga. This guy is 4 for 4. And one thing I've said, you know, for years, like, you know, Gamine beating me and Jackie's Warrior is beating me, I usually can ambush him at the Breeders' Cup. Like, you know, last year beating Gamine with CC and Edgeway made the whole trip. I'm like, you just have to wait. And so far, Jackie's Warrior is 0-for-2 in the Breeders' Cup. A terrific racehorse. And I think, you know, just lays over, you know, this field, you would think. And until they get to the autumn, I'm for him.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, he's the horse to be, putting together a beautiful, beautiful resume.
I mean, Jerkins up here last year. He beat Life Is Good. I mean, one of the best races of the year last year.
And probably the best race of the meet, yeah. I think, without doubt. And it kind of was what I mean, it was one of those rare moments where the fact that Life Is Good put in that performance off of the layoff and everything was tremendous. But Jackie's Warrior beat him, and he's clearly the horse to beat at six. Tries to go 5 for 5. I was thinking that, and I got caught the other day when I Love Nest was looking for a one punch exacta, and I had the wrong horse because I didn't think would run the way they ran, and it was the favorite exacta. Now in the Vanderbilt, I think that you find the under horse, one of them. I don't think you can spread, and you punch a one way exacta. I don't think it helps the horizontals. I've said this before. You know, I don't know that the free square helps anybody. If it's all free square for everybody, we're all moving along. But if you come up with a horse under the champ and you make a one-punch exact, I don't know, maybe you can get $11?
Yeah, knee-deep in snow, I think you can make a little case.
Yes,
there.
He'd be the one I'm looking towards.
Chantel Sutherland comes up to ride Willie Boy after having won on that sprint car down at Gulfstream a few weeks back, and I think he might be a little bit interesting as well. As I said, New York Traffic, but I think New York Traffic is going to be the second choice.
That's the bad one. Knee-deep in snow or Long Range Toady. That, to me, is the one of the two I'd have to decide between the two of them and go forward with Jackie's Warrior, who... David, the morning line odds will be out in a couple hours, but let's, the rarity, 2 to 5?
Yeah, wouldn't surprise, yeah.
I think 2 to 5, which is, there seems to be a chasm he's put 4 to 5 up. Two seems to be the real chasm for morning line odds, which makes sense. I mean, 2 to 5 is a short price, but that's my guess on the morning line of the Vanderbilt. The grade two, the 9 furlong local prep for the Traverse Stakes, the Jim Dandy.
And I have been saying for weeks now, the second half of the year is going to help define the three-year-old crop. Jim Dandy, Haskell, Travers, Pennsylvania Derby. I don't know if we help define things with Cyberknife and the
Imagine
Haskell.
Imagine if we have like 8 different winners.
And that's kind of how it has worked out. But this, I think, will help define, unless it winds up to be Western River or Tawnyport. If it's Epicenter, Early Voting, or Zandon, I think it kind of puts any of those three firmly in the conversation. Epicenter, even with his second place finishes Derby and Preakness, is still in a lot of people's conversation as the horse they would tilt towards at this point. I'm kind of in that camp. I'm going to be really intrigued to see what happens. Early Voting being lightly raced with the big performance in the Preakness, and that they elected, let's skip the Derby. Chad said before the race, I have an owner who is going to allow me to have that kind of luxury to look at the horse and say, you know, let's wait a little bit and get a better spot, being lightly raced and a better education for the horse going forward. That seems to be the way it worked out. Zandon, who looked very good in the Bluegrass and was a very good third in the Derby as well. Boy, this is a field of five, but this is a fun race that, again, maybe lives up to what I've been saying for the past few weeks.
I love a horse
and starts to help define the three-year-old crop.
I think you're right. I love Early Voting. I mean, to me, I love them in the Preakness, sort of like the cloud computing type way. I like Creative Minister a little bit, but you've seen this. Now, here's the question for me. 9 furlongs on Saturday, I think, is a home run for Early Voting. So, are the screws, who are the screws really tight for, and who's waiting for the Travers is a big question. Chad Brown passed on the Belmont, not unheard of. And I think the offspring of Gunrunner, I think this is, I love him. I'm sure he's going to be second choice. I'm seeing, just playing a job I would never be good at. 8 to 5, 9 to 5, Epicenter, Early Voting.
That's a good question.
Epicenter is going to be the favorite, right? Morning line?
You would think.
I mean, it's not going to be 2-1, 5-2, right?
No.
So maybe 9-5, 2-1. I think they're going to be one tick away from each other, but I love early voting. I mean, I just think Chad Brown has handled this horse outstandingly. He's a rarity that has improved with every buyer's speed figure. I'm not so sure his Jim Dandy will improve upon his Preakness, which was outstanding. But I like early voting very much, you know, and I would also be intrigued, you know, if he runs a big race and you come back at 10, there's some, and I think, isn't Chad Brown on record of saying that the Travers is the race he most wants to win in his life?
Oh, I think it's certainly right up there. There's no question about it being a local.
You know, early voting could be his horse, but I love early voting in the Jim Dandy. Hopefully he's nails on, but I think it's a very contentious race with the big three. I think it's actually one of the better Jim Dandies when you talk about getting the top flight three-year-olds to meet in it as a prep for the Travers. But in and of itself, it's not a prep for anything. This is a showdown. This is a big showdown.
Yeah, no question about it. You mentioned Grade 1 sprints on Saturday, and there's another one out at Del Mar, the Bing Crosby, $400,000 up for grabs. 3/4 of a mile. They get a nice field in here, a field of 10. Diamond Oops is in here. Drain the Clock is in here. American Theorem. It's an interesting field in the Grade 1 sprint out at Del Mar.
And it's nice to see a healthy field in a Grade 1 before the Breeders' Cup sprinting. And I think, you know, it's not one of those filler races. I'd have to say practically all but maybe one you expect in here. I think it's probably the best version in a while. We've had some short fields and some dominant sprinters out in Southern California lately. But as I looked at this race, I mean, to me, I think he's got to be an outsider as Let's Get Lucky, who I think is going to sit a very good trip at Del Mar. Remember, they only opened last week, so this will be their second weekend. They're a week behind us this year. Bob Baffert's Chaz, I think, will draw a lot of attention. One of those horses shortening up that I think can be very, very dangerous. And Juan Hernandez has had a great start to the meet. I mean, folks, if you're not familiar with him, he got right off the rip on Friday, the 22nd, opening day, and did outstanding. But a field of 10 in a Grade 1 sprint, love it.
Yeah, I think I'd lean towards the Baffert runner, getting back into Bob Baffert's hands after the suspension and coming in with the string of bullet workouts. Drain the Clock for Safi. You know, you look back at that Gulfstream Park sprint with the 102 buyer, but then the trip to Dubai and the comeback effort, which, boy, that was disappointing, certainly. So Drain the Clock, you look at the workout, 46-1, which amazingly was second best. Love to know,
Well, this one was breezing. I wonder if the other one was handily at Gulfstream Park, because it's very impressive to go 46-1 breezing Grade 1.
And it seems to indicate that maybe he's back to where he was before he went to Dubai. Diamond Oops has always attracted me in this horse. I think deserves maybe a little bit of a look as well. But, yeah, for me, it's probably hard to get past Shaz.
I mean, they're going to bet him. I mean, he's showing up out of a two-turn mile race at Lone Star. Many people love that angle with sprinters shortening off. The co-feature on the card, albeit just a Grade 2, the local prep for the Pacific Classic, and No Flight Line is not in this, the San Diego Handicap. And again, now, I have a question about this. It says, why for Mandaloon, where it notes that he was placed third, first through disqualification to Haskell, does it have nothing at the Kentucky Derby?
That's a very good question. That's a very good question. Because
they didn't get the news yet?
Yeah, it is.
He was placed first through disqualification. It's done.
Yeah.
And the one thing I will ask, and I've asked trainers about this afterwards, like, have you gotten the money? Has the purse been distributed now for the 2021 Kentucky Derby? And if it has, why are we waiting on Mandaloon having the line placed first through disqualification the Kentucky Derby? My feel
is, not only is that very interesting.
Did I miss something?
Has the lifetime record been changed?
Well, the purse indicates to me that it has. His lifetime earnings indicates
over two.
It's you know, over $2 million. This man is the king of.
Yeah, that's funny. That doesn't have a note.
But it seems like the earnings have been adjusted. And six races. You go ahead. One. Two,
country
two,
grammar coming over from the winning the Dubai World Cup for Bob.
The wins
Baffert.
Have been adjusted also.
Okay.
So they're just missing that line place yeah, that, first due to disqualification.
That's very funny. But country grammar again. The Dubai World Cup. Bob Baffert runner coming in working very well. Obviously going to take all kinds of action. John Velasquez slated to go out and ride because he was out there obviously this past winter riding the Baffert horses and had a pretty good winter.
Oh
up
yes,
there, for
100% agree.
You know, a New York guy coming in out of the blue. We've talked many times. That's very tough to do, but being tied in with Bob Baffert certainly is the way to go. Defunded, the other Bob Baffert horse, I think is intriguing. Mandaloon, of course, gonna be very interesting to see what he does rebounding out of the poor performance in the Saudi Cup. But I think what the connections were disappointed with in the Stephen Foster, too. It was behind Olympiad, behind American Revolution, but a fourth place finish by nine lengths. So I'm intrigued to see what he can do. Stiletto Boy may be the one that will offer some value, I think, is a bona fide you know, stakes level and good stakes level runner out in Southern California that, as I say, might sneak in and offer a little bit of value in here.
I'm expecting a reverse of last year. Tripoli last year lost to San Diego, won the Pacific Classic. I like him in the San Diego. I'm not so sure I'll like him in the Pacific Classic if he goes.
He just got really good during that stretch last year.
And I'm hoping it's the, you know, the Breeders' Cup Classic, he was in my mix because of how well he had ridden in it. Raced in the Pacific Classic, but boy, he was awful. But you know, the way he raced, you had no chance not being forwardly placed, I thought, especially in that crop, and he just had no oomph early, and you know, by the time if you've never been to Del Mar, it's sort of like Churchill Downs in that they start way to your left. So my point is they completely run past you, and I'm like a furlong and a half into the race, I'm like, well, he has no chance. He wasn't my top pick, but I'm like, you have no chance to really hit the board now. You're not going to run down Nick's Go and Essential Quality up there. So tough, but I do like him.
Senior Buscador is intriguing in the scenario for this one. Broke the maiden in the first career start in November of 2020, then won the Springboard Mile, which is kind of an interesting two-year-old race at the end of the year out at Remington. Again, that was back in 2020. Tried the Risen Star, was fifth behind Mandaloon. That was in 2021. And then laid off from there until July 3rd this year at Lone Star and had a nice win in the comeback race. Four career starts, and this seems like a tall order, but it's always intriguing when somebody takes a shot like this.
Now, you liked Mandaloon in the Derby, right?
Yeah.
So we credit ourselves with the $54 winner, right? Because my ROI, I'm out to about the 229th running of the Kentucky Derby with Country House and Mandaloon in two out of 3 years, that they won't be catching me for the Kentucky Derby.
Well, my best one was Giacomo.
Well, yeah.
So,
I'm so sure John Sheriff's had him that day.
Well, I was, what was the one Kyle Brownell and I were doing the afternoon handicapping show?
By the way, his only victory after the Derby, the San Diego.
Oh, there you go. But we were doing the handicapping show. Santa Anita Derby, I think, had a big score there as well. I'm trying to think of what the horse was.
Santa Anita Derby?
Yeah.
All me, Tiago, baby.
Mine wasn't Tiago. Mine was it was a Jeff Mullins runner, I'm pretty sure. I'll look it up when we go. But I think we're still waiting on
Mike?
Yeah, we're still waiting.
I heard doors closed and everything, but we can't see anymore.
I think he would. He would poke his head.
Yes, he's easily. Very, very good. But so great weekend of racing.
Once again, just hitting on you know, the stats so far. After
I should
Wednesday.
Pick up who the news, what the newspapers have Mike Maker listed at.
Oh, I think the seven is clearly right. I mean, you can go look at the results, and boom, you're good to go. Oh, there's Mike there, so you're good to go. So the seven's clearly right.
You think seven's the right answer?
Yeah.
I feel confident.
Yeah.
All right. I was nervous when I posted the board for our viewers yesterday. I'm like, I am going against the home team.
I'm wondering if they counted the no contest. Was Maker's Horse the winner in the no contest?
I don't know.
Because that, you know, that may just be an automated thing because he had a horse on top.
My question is, did they pay out the purse?
No.
No.
I think I read everybody got like $3,500 or something like that. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Mike Welch from the Daily Racing Forum and more. Stay tuned.
For four generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pinnell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Hello everyone, I'm Scott Vartley and I'm here at the West Condominiums in Saratoga Springs. And guess what? We are down to the home stretch. Everything is two bedrooms and two baths. Come make a selection of one of the greatest condos ever to be built in Saratoga Springs. We're starting in the upper fives and the only rooftop penthouse available now under construction. Wow, just look at this patio. We have a rooftop pool, heated garage, balconies, and a gym. Call me at 518-281-6808.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, we are joined now by Mike Welch from the Daily Racing Forum. You can catch his work, DRF.com, the hard copy, also the workout reports. Mike, good morning.
Good morning.
You doing the workouts this morning? How are...
Yeah, I was busy this morning. We were kind of quiet the last few days. Monday, obviously, all the rain, nobody worked except for Epicenter.
Yeah.
So it's not nobody. Tuesday and Wednesday were a little quiet. This morning, it got busier on both sides, so running back and forth trying to catch as many as we can. Dave Grenning helped me out today, so hopefully we'll have a couple of pearls out of the works we saw this morning. There were a few good ones. Track was a little on the slow side early this morning, I thought, but we had a couple of quicker works later, so we'll see.
What days are Turf Works?
Turf Works are Friday and Sunday, and they've been very, very busy. Yeah. They can get about 70 both days.
I have a question. It might be the dumbest question ever. I was, how... Because I have to look under the hood to see if it's a filler. How do you identify the horses so rapidly?
Well, every trainer has their own saddle tells, so you could narrow it down right away to whose horses they are. And then, you try to get marks, and you can grab the work tab and get some clues then by who worked what horses that day, and then try to narrow it down from the marks, the colors. And the clackers give us some help, especially on the main track side. The training track side during turf, at least for me during turf, and when Mike Vesey's over there, we pretty much, kind of figure those out ourselves off the work tabs and, knowing, again, who had horses out there and who wound up on the tab. And then when they work in teams, you try to separate them as best you can. A lot of times it's easy, sometimes not so much. Rudy had a trio this morning, and one of them was very good, but his marks were, he had one little small star, one of his other horses had a little small star. So we're going to have to try to figure out which was which out of that.
Now, this is what I don't understand. When you go out to the Breeders' Cup, and it's one of the few times I go out in the mornings, I think I'm right here, they all have a saddle cloth, and it has like a triple-digit number, and it says who they are. So that must be a...
It helps. I mean...
And I'm like, well, we can't...
Sometimes if they're all working at the same time, you don't have time even to read the saddle cloth
number.
Who they are. The numbers, you have to, you go back to the code book. It's almost like the old Groucho movie, A Day at the Races, when he bought all the code books from Chico. There is a list of the numbers corresponding to the horses, but, when they're working, and when there are a lot of them working, you can't stop and look at that point.
But at that point, that's about traffic.
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
That's not about, they've ID'd the horse for you to make your job.
Exactly.
What I think is just reasonable, and I've always been amazed. I'm like, it has
shouldn't
to be
they
rule.
All? Yeah, shouldn't
you come
they
on
all?
You send your horse out on this track, you got to get a saddle cloth with the name.
It would just be too extended. I mean, there's the 1,000 horses back here. You could make up 1,000 saddle towels, and guys are changing horses, other outfits. You couldn't do it. I mean, even sometimes figuring out, like, there's 3 or 4 barns that have black towels. Oh. You know, there's Steve Cluceris. Ron Moquette came in today with a black towel. Gus Rodriguez has a black towel, and Michelle Nevin is a black towel. So sometimes you have to learn who the riders are with these with these outfits, or the little nuances on the equipment, to just even then figure out which outfit's black towel that was. So you got to start there. You got to start with whose horse it was, and then you try to narrow it down from there. And sometimes you can't do it. Sometimes it's just hard to separate when Rudy Rodriguez works, you know, 15 horses in the morning and 4 of them are bays with no marks. It gets hard to figure out which one was actually which. And sometimes, you know, we might have the work in our book, but we have to leave it out if we can't positively identify which one it was.
And the workout reports, again, up here, a great tool for folks to add to their handicapping toolbox. And you guys do a great job there, not just watching the works. But again, who's in company, grade the works.
The one thing we can't control is when a horse comes in from Windstar Farm with works we haven't seen, like yesterday, and then runs off the screen.
At $30.
I mean, he had some fast works on the farm.
Down there, but
and they paid $320,000 for him. You know, out of sight, out of mind, he paid $30. If he had been working here and working fast, he probably, I mean, obviously he would have won, but he might have paid $12 because people would have seen him. So there's nothing we can do about that. No. We can't have clockers everywhere. So,
all right, let's get into, you know, as I say, a little preview and review, and love to get your thoughts on some of the action from the past weekend down in New Jersey, the Haskell. I've been saying, and I said it in the previous show, I thought the second half of the season would help define the three-year-olds. I'm not sure the win by Cyberknife necessarily did that, but he now maybe can kind of stamp and validate himself. You know, Arkansas Derby, Haskell, and add the Traverse to that. Who knows? Nice win for Al Gold. Cyberknife here in the replay is going to be the number one horse. Taba for Bob Baffert, Mike Smith, the number two runs second. The disappointment, obviously, number 7, Jack Christopher, winds up third, and here's the 3-5 favorite. What were your thoughts on the weekend's Haskell?
You know, there was some question whether Jack Christopher could get the distance or not, and so I was a little surprised that he was 3-5 with that little that question mark hanging over his head like that, and obviously he can't, and you might see him back now, back to one turn after all of this. Great, you know, ride by Florent on Cyberknife coming through on the inside like that. It made the difference here. I'm not sure where Cyberknife was in Brad Cox's pecking order of three-year-olds. Obviously, he's moved up a little bit more now off of that performance. So we'll see how this race holds up as we move forward, if it's going to be a key race going forward to the Haskell and wherever else these other horses might show up. The big disappointment was Safi Joseph's horse, unfortunately. White Barrio finished almost last in there. I know he didn't get a good run into the first turn. The horse wants to be closer, and he was wide and far back, but he was a big disappointment. Safi really has no clue what became of him. He's obviously, I mean, just watching him train, I didn't think he was as sharp coming out of the Derby as he was going into the Derby, and he did run second in the Ohio Derby to Tawny Pott. But he just, to me, he's not the same horse that I saw this winter when he won the Holy Bull and the Florida Derby.
He looked great in the Florida Derby.
Yeah, we'll see where he moves going forward from here, but I'm going to guess he's going to get a little time off.
The scary thing for me with Cyberknife was he looked like King Kong at the half-mile pole, looked like a winner if he gets any traffic. I mean, he just ran up on him in a split second. I thought Tabor ran better than I thought. I thought he was in trouble about the 3-8 pole, but...
Yeah,
second.
I mean, just we'll see moving forward how this race
hope
holds up.
Forward.
If it be determined if it's a key race or just you know, maybe a little lower division than the ones that we're going to see in the Jim Dandy and others moving forward.
Interesting that he's an Al Gold horse that hasn't been in New York so far.
Well, he will be now.
Yeah, exactly. Also wanted some thoughts here this past weekend. We'll watch the replay of the stretch run. This clearly on the weekend, as you look on Twitter and just talk to people, the wow performance of the weekend. Nest was just phenomenal in the coaching club American Oaks over Secret Oath.
Yeah, no, it was a great effort, and probably no surprise. She was training really, really well coming into the race, and we all kind of thought she was going to move forward and maybe have the edge over Secret Oath over their previous meeting in the Oaks. But, you know, you didn't expect her to run off the screen almost like that. Now, look, the others behind her were all kind of staggering coming to the wire, including Secret Oath. They just didn't run their races at all. But take nothing away from Nest. It was an excellent effort, and we've seen her on the track since. She's looked terrific coming out of the race, so that's a good sign for Todd, too.
Very good, and trust us, the replay disappeared, but trust us. It was a very good performance.
Here it comes.
There we go. And again, she was just phenomenal. And,
right.
You know, we're
I mean, obviously everything behind her is struggling. You see Secret Oath even on the wrong lead at this point. She just switched there, but, you know, the race was over by then, and nobody else really ran back there, but Ness kept on and kept about her business. So,
a 104 buyer.
Her best effort yet, obviously, and looks like she's, you know, destined to move forward, maybe even further when she move it in her next.
We're going to have Mike Rapoli on today, but he got tied up because I wanted to hear how much, what the enthusiasm might be for facing the boys. But after an effort like that, certainly it's in the conversation.
Yeah, I would think Mike might be game for something like that. I don't know about Todd, but Mike might. Well, Todd is too. Todd's run the fillies against the boys in one big races too, so I don't think that'll be any problem if Mike gives him the go-ahead to do it.
I think it's great news. You said how she came out of the race.
She's looked good
to be
in the
that
track.
Dynamic, and then, okay, let's go.
Yeah, sometimes races like that, you know, take something out of horses, especially fillies, but not her. She's looked good on the track.
Tremendous.
Then Sunday, the Shoe Bee, we'll watch the stretch run there. Only a field of four, but got what we wanted. Clearier and Malathat kind of hooked up subsequently after the race. Todd Pletcher said she was a little dull maybe in the paddock, but if she was, this was still a pretty good performance from Malathat. But Clearier, who I've liked throughout her career, and I kind of tilted towards on Sunday, Clearier looks pretty good. The chart margin winds up to be 1.5 for her in the Shoe Bee.
Yeah, and the difference might have been the ground loss. Malathat was outside and lugging it a little bit here, too. Clearier got up the rail and was able to edge clear. You know, Todd, definitely, you know, look, you can even see Malathat still trying to lean in a little bit here. But, you know, Todd said it just wasn't her day. She just didn't seem herself. He has no idea what caused it other than thinking maybe it was the heat. And it was a hot day that day.
Yeah.
He said she came out of the race fine. So, you know, got to be happy about that. And we'll probably get round two, three, whatever, with these two moving forward. So it was Clarias' day in the sunshine here, and next time the result could go the other way.
Has he indicated he's going to keep the blinkers on her?
It sounds like he is. I asked him that. I said, do you think, well, maybe the blinkers, maybe she didn't see her coming through in the rail. He said, no, he doesn't think it's that.
Okay.
He said she works so good with blinkers. It sounds like his inclination is to try her again in blinkers next time, too. He didn't use that as an excuse at all.
Yeah, again, it was a perfectly nice performance, but Clarier stepped forward. All right, let's do a little preview. Today, the Birdstone, a mere mile and three quarters, field of five in here, but a couple of bona fide marathon specialists, and that was proven in the Brooklyn last time. We'll take a look at the stretch run back on June 11th. Fearless, the number seven. Warrant, the number three. But also in today's race is the third place finisher, number one, Lone Rock, who went off as the 7-5 favorite in this race we're looking at. But Fearless got it done, stepping out to a mile and a half for Pletcher and Mike Rapoli. I'm kind of tilting in that direction again today with Fearless. What did you think coming up in the
Birdstone? This horse just is a quality horse, and the fact that now he can go a mile and a quarter or a mile and a half like this, you gotta think that he's just the best of this bunch. Now look, Lone Rock didn't really get a comfortable trip. He got knocked around, I think, at the break. He really wasn't in a good position, especially going a mile and a half. He's loose on the lead in here, I believe.
And
that could be, and he's got IRAD today, so that could, you know, make things a little different, the outcome a little bit different. But just Fearless has done so well coming out of the race, working wise. I asked Todd, you know, now that he's got a mile and a half, mile and three quarters, he said it is a big difference. It is another quarter of a mile. So he says he still has to prove that he can, you know, go a little further. But I just think this horse is doing so good. I think he's the better of the two horses. And unless Lone Rock just gets away with murder on the front end.
Yeah, we were speculating earlier what the fractions might be today.
I asked Todd if you're going to have to change your strategy a little bit because of that. And he says, going a mile and a three quarter, he's inclined not to. He's just going to let him fall out of there and just get their position and let the best horse win. He does have a second horse in here, Portos, obviously, you know, which he could send up after Lone Rock, I guess, if he wanted to. But I'm guessing he's not going to do that. I'm thinking he's confident enough that Fearless is good enough to to run down Lone Rock, you know, on his own as long as the other horse just doesn't get away too far from him and going too slow.
Yeah. Tomorrow, the Curlin. These are three-year-olds, potentially headed a little bit later on to the Traverse. 9 furlongs is the trip. Nice little field of nine in here. Be Better for Pletcher and Rapoli comes off a nice win. A couple of nice wins. Broke the maiden, then went through Allowance Company. But I pulled a replay of Artorias. Artorias goes out for Chad Brown and Judmont off a nice maiden breaker last time. We'll take a look at that. Going to be the number three horse here back on June 10th. Those two are intriguing. Lightly raced, maybe up-and-coming three-year-olds. A little bit more proven as Creative Minister in here for Ken McPeak. Todd Pletcher also has Make It Big, who won the Springboard Mile at Remington last year. But the three-year-old try in the Sam Davis was a complete dud. It's going to be interesting to see if that one rebounds. What are your thoughts on the Curlin?
Yeah, Creative Minister is going to be the favorite. And look, he could win. There's no doubt about it. I mean, this was one of my favorite horses in Florida this winter. He trained as well as any three-year-old down there, even before he started. We had a lot of good three-year-olds down there. And he's progressed since then. The Belmont really didn't get a trip, and the mile and a half maybe just was too much for him. But he's going to be the favorite. But I think he could be vulnerable in here. I don't think he stands out in the race, and I wouldn't take a short price on him. I think Artorias, lightly raced, you know, a horse that's obviously going to move forward. The inexperience is a little bit of a disadvantage going up against these horses. There's not a lot of pace in here. I think AP Secret's probably going to get loose on the lead. He was a horse that Safi always thought the world of, and he's really never shown quite the level that he thought he was going to take him to. But, you know, if he gets loose in here, he could be a pretty good factor. And Todd, too. I think Todd's horse you got to respect also. Be Better. It's a very good betting race.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really have a horse that I would be leaning towards one way or the other. I'm just kind of maybe trying to beat the favorite, but with no real push on anything else going against them. But if I had to make a pick, Artorias would be my pick, and I'd probably throw AP Secret in. If he can get loose on the lead, maybe to grab the board at a price.
Sounds like if we had bet a soda in February, that Creative Minister would or would not be eligible for this condition, you would have said no, and I would have agreed with you.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, he took him a little while to break his maiden because his first start when he should have won, he didn't because he got a horrible trip. So he didn't break his maiden until Keelan, and then Churchill, he won the A other than. And then, you know, they go to Preakness and Belmont.
Big races,
so,
yep.
You know, now you're still eligible for non-winners of a sweepstakes, a graded sweepstakes. Yep. So just the way he trained then, he looked like a horse that eventually was going to be a graded stakes winner. But you know, when you run up in against the best,
and it might be Saturday.
Yeah, it might be Friday. Yeah, in the Curling.
Quick look at the two Saturday stakes: the Vanderbilt with Jackie's Warrior. We'll take a look at Jackie's Warrior winning the True North and 4-for-4 at Saratoga, and just given the last couple of races, triple digit buyer wins. To me, Jackie's Warrior kind of has these over a barrel. Safi's horse, New York Traffic, is a little bit intriguing. We were talking earlier about Knee Deep and Snow, maybe if you're going to play around. Particularly looking for an underneath price, maybe in a Cold Punch Exacta with Jackie's Warrior. But what are your thoughts on the Vanderbilt?
Yeah, I mean, joke. Jackie's Warrior is going to be 1-5, and it'd be a shock if he loses. There's no doubt about that. The only way to play the race is to try to grab an Exacta. Yeah. You know, Safi's horse turned out to be, you know, best at sprinting. After all this time, I think they finally learned that that's his niche, and that's where they're going to keep him. And, you know, there's a New York bred sprint race in a couple of weeks that he's eligible for, but Safi said, why not take a shot in here? And if the race doesn't knock him out too much, I can always come back in that race. But, you know, here's a chance to be, you know, if you can't beat Jackie's Warrior, which, you know, Safi's not going in thinking he can, you know, you can still be second in a grade one, which is, you know, pretty good on the horse's record. It's still a pretty good payday, too. So I think he's probably the most logical second-best horse. Willie Boy coming out of Florida, one of two that George Delgado has in here, although George told me if the race stays at 6, he's probably going to take Doc Amster out and run him back here in a couple of weeks. There's a non-winners of a sweepstakes sprint race for this horse. Willie Boy, though, is getting better and better since he joined George's barn, and he just figures this is the time to take the shot. He says, I don't enter a horse to run for second money. He says, I know Jackie's Warrior's in there, but I always think I could win. So you got to admire the confidence, but
yes.
I think he'd be very happy to take second money.
Chantel play. Sutherland in for the ride, too.
Right, and this is George Delgado's second New York start, and probably the first for Chantel, too, since she rode a horse for George in the hopeful last year that ran off the board. So I think they have a little better chance to grab the board in here, but to win, not so much.
Finally, the Jim Dandy, it will be Epicenter. We talked about this race a little bit earlier. Epicenter, early voting, Zandon. Tawnyport for Brad Cox, maybe off the Ohio Derby victory, is a little bit intriguing. But Epicenter, who, even with the 2 second place finishes, is firmly in the conversation for a lot of people as the leader in the division. But we'll take a look at the Preakness. It will be number 5, early voting, over number 8, Epicenter. What are your thoughts on the Jim Dandy?
Yeah, it'll be good to see these two rematch. I mean, trip-wise, a lot of people have thought Epicenter was the best horse that day. Early voting just got a perfect trip under Jose. And, look, he looks like he's got the pace edge again in here. So he gets loose on the lead. He may be tough to beat again, but Epicenter's doing terrific. He's working well. He's a really good horse.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's probably the, you know, it's just too bad that he still, you know, does not have a grade one win, and frustrating being second in the Preakness and second in the Derby like that. But you got to respect Zandon too. Look, I mean, he ran terrific in the Derby as well. So a small field, but an interesting race, yeah, strategy wise between those three. But it, you know, again, it looks like early voting is going to have that pace edge in here, and you know, that's a big edge to have. We'll see how the track is playing. If it's favoring speed a little bit too, you know, it makes him the one to beat. But if Epicenter or Zandon ran him down, I mean, these are two very good horses, and this is going to be a good barometer, a good test moving forward for the Travers later in the meet for all three of these.
Curling on Friday, the Jim Dandy on Saturday, maybe playing into the Travers coming up,
yeah,
later.
Just too bad we have all these small fields and all these races. Yeah. You know, betting-wise, they're not great races. The Curling, the best of the bunch here, but you know, a five-horse field today. We had a four-horse field yesterday in the stake. It's just the way of the game right now, not only here, but around the country. It's just
around
too
the world.
Bad. Right. Around the world, yeah. And, you know, again, this is a betting game, and it's tough for bettors. You got to almost just put them in the horizontal bets or try to weed out a small, you know, $10, $12, $15 exacta. But, and it's not great for the handle either. You feel for the tracks in that respect too, and the horsemen, because they get purse money off the handle, but it's the way it is, and just have to make the best of it. And to me, their race is more to enjoy watching than playing, and that's what I'll be doing on all these stakes races the next 3 days.
I mean, obviously, they're fun storylines to watch and going forward and whatnot. Mike, we appreciate the visit. Again, can find your work. You and Dave Greinig do a great job covering the meet. DRF.com, the hard copy. Always tout the workout reports, because, as they say, it will give you as a handicapper a little edge that maybe other people don't have. And you guys do a great job there as well. So we appreciate the visit. We'll talk to
you guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we will head to a break. When we come back, Dan Collins is in the green room. We'll talk Bonaventure Racing with Dan right after this. He's got one in today. Some more coming up. Stay tuned.
Juvenile fillies turf, 14 of them across the track. Heels set on their way. End of the dance on the outside. Broke a little sideways with Pro KK, but meanwhile it's going to be stopped. But running on now, and Somali Lemonade's got 8 to make up. They come to the top of the lane. Stop shopping. Maria's got a lot left. Stop shopping. Maria goes on. Sweet Cat is right there. Hard not to like. Royal Body is running on. Past the 8 ball, they come. Stop shopping. Maria for the run. Still under a hand ride as they come to the 16th. Stephanie's Kitten coming out late. Yes, Stephanie's Kitten coming fast. Stephanie's Kitten, stop chopping over there. Stephanie's Kitten's water.
The chances broke smartly, but so did Terra from the Cape. On the inside, Sky Lantern the Grey going well. If he can get through, Sky Lantern the Grey looking for somewhere to run. Wide open. It's Terra from the Cape hanging on. Terra from the Cape tries to go all the way. On the outside now, here comes Flotilla in the light blue. Flotilla is absolutely flying. Watch the chances in there too. But Flotilla has gone right on by. And Flotilla is coming home to score. Flotilla has won it just about two in the end. It'll be Watch the Chances, Summer of Fun, coming on to finish there.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, happy to be joined by our friend Dan Collins from Bonaventure Stables. They're one of our sponsors here. I always mention I always like to root for the locals regardless, and Bonaventure is a locally based outfit, so whenever I'm in doing the handicapping show and I see a Bonaventure horse, we're always rooting, and today that will include Ocean's Reserve. We'll talk about that and more. Dan, good morning, and you brought a fan club with you.
I brought a fan club. This is Eli, and this is Leo. And at the end, Leo's going to challenge you.
Well, okay. All right, I'm ready.
I hope I'm ready.
Yes. For folks who haven't seen Jan with us before, just give a little background on the Bonaventure Stables and you know what your participation is in the game and how people may come and participate along with you.
Sure. We formed Bonaventure Stables in 2005. With a group of four or five guys who probably had one beer too many at a racetrack, and we claimed a horse. And from there, we've grown to about 80 owners. We have seven horses in training right now, and you know we offer shares in each horse as a partnership, and we're having a ball.
Yeah, I know from folks I know who are involved, they really enjoy the Bonaventure experience. And if people do want to become involved, how do they reach out to you?
Well, the easiest way would be simply to go to our website, bonaventurestables.com, and there's information on the opportunities. There's phone numbers and emails, and they can contact us, and I'll get right back to them.
bonaventurestables.com, and it is Bonaventure, but there is a connection, obviously, to the school.
Well, I went to St. Bonaventure. My daughters went to St. Bonaventure. My son-in-law went to St. Bonaventure. And
guess where you're going, kids.
Many other members of my family.
Very good. My brother also an alum as well.
That's correct.
What's the geographical makeup of your partners?
You know, the majority of our partners are from from New York State and primarily from upstate. But we do. We've got partners from Georgia, Pennsylvania, Texas, Michigan. So people that, from all over, really.
And I know, you know, your partnership certainly, because I know the events, and I've been at some of your events in past years, and other partnerships as well. Saratoga is a big part of the partnership experience, and people get to come, paddock, backstretch, and whatnot. So talk a little bit about Saratoga, your partners, and how important the Saratoga meet is.
Well, we look at the Saratoga meet, and I think all of your viewers do too, as kind of this is the Breeders' Cup Championship, this is the Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
For everybody in the industry. So every year here, part of being part of Bonaventure Stables isn't just about owning horses and hope that you get a win. We create a very family-friendly atmosphere for folks, and we encourage them to join us any day of the week out here at the track. We'll take them on a tour. This happens to be our family, friends, and owners weekend. So nice. We've got 100 people here this weekend. We're going to throw a big party for them Friday night at one of the local establishments. We take them on a stable tour Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, our treat. They're our guests in the paddock suite for the day here at racing. And then Sunday, we'll do some more stable tours. So we try to make this family friendly.
Now, one of the local establishments that serves one too many?
there is an occasion that it does.
Now, I have, because he also loves. Now, were you on campus when the late, great Bob Lanier was on campus?
That was my freshman year.
Oh, good life is timing. Good for you.
Yeah, and
we
named a horse after Bob many years ago. It's the Big Cat, because his nickname was the Big Cat.
Yes.
Yeah, very good. Speaking of horses and Bonaventure, you have one in today, and I pulled up the last two races because I was, you know, down in Albany in our studio for both of these, and you just couldn't. It ran super in both of the races. We'll go back to the most recent one, July 3rd. We're talking about Ocean's Reserve. Ocean's Reserve for Bonaventure is in today in the fourth race, the number six. Number one horse, and winds up running second behind Street Czar in just a nudge of a loss. A few weeks before that, we'll pull up the replay also. Ocean's Reserve will be the number 7 in the subsequent replay we looked at, behind number 10, Asymmetric. Also a close loss. A nose in the one we're looking at here, a neck in the one we're looking at next time. But both Anthony and I don't know whether you're happy to know this or not, both Anthony and I put them on top today based on these two efforts. Talk a little bit about the two close. Boy, it's just so frustrating. But talk about the first couple of starts of the year so far for Ocean's Reserve, the last couple of starts of the year.
So he's really had a good three-year-old campaign far. He opened the season with a nice third-place finish, and now these two close second place finishes, as you mentioned. They were both 6 furlongs. Now we're stretching out to 7 furlongs. I spoke to Javier Castellano, the rider, earlier this week, and he thought 7 furlongs were perfect for him, because he said, we just didn't have enough time to catch that guy. And he said he thinks that this distance is ideal. So we're looking for a good day.
So there'll be some happy Bonaventure folks in the paddock, and hopefully happy in the winner's circle afterwards. Anthony and I will be happy having picked a winner, so we are rooting for you, certainly.
And I know it's kind of an esoteric thing, but how about the idea of having the morning line favorite at a race at the Spa? I mean, even that's like, winning is best, but you're like, I'm the chalk at the Spa. Yeah, that's a pretty good starting point.
It's a little scary because you don't want to disappoint a lot of people.
That's the other problem.
But I've got a prediction. Leo, you have a prediction. Who's going to win the fourth race today?
Very good. So we agree. Now I don't know what better. Now it's a triumvirate that is putting the kibosh, maybe. But no, I think we're actually giving a good thumbs up here for Ocean's Reserve, number 6 in race number 4 for Bonaventure. We are all rooting for
it. Now here's a question today I have that you would be able to answer, that we guess all the time. Is he a noticeably different athlete this year than last year?
He's an extraordinarily different athlete this year than last year. We ran once last year. It was an okay race, but as the rider said, he broke from the gate, he rushed up, he got scared because he had to check, and he just lost it. So we just took him off the track. We gave him time to just be a horse on the farm.
Yes.
We came back this year, entirely different horse. Now he's meeting our expectations. The third in those two tight.
Now,
seconds.
When you do something like that, my memory, the race was early September at the. So you had a lot of time. Was there something, like you said, he'd just be a horse, and then something says, well, now's the time we should start looking for a race. My point would be, he didn't start 3 months earlier, and is that type of thing because he's not ready? So you're just like, you're waiting to see something, and you're like, okay, now we should start getting ready for the three-year-old season.
We wanted to let him grow a little bit. He did.
Okay.
And we were very, very cautious with him because we know he has talent.
Right.
And the goal was to have him ready for Belmont and Saratoga.
Okay.
So we didn't want to run.
Right. So it was a combination. You're right. You knew what you wanted
to. We looked for it, excuse me, the fact that this is his fourth race of the season. He ought to be in top shape.
Agreed.
And we're here in Saratoga.
Right. And Seth and I talk about, we have to look at things from a handicapping angle. And I've said many times, whether it's the start of their career or a season, when they get to that third race, I'm dialed in as an outsider. I just have to guess. But you've just confirmed that you believe with your runner, he's apexing, which is good, which is why the
I'm a buyer's guy, and the last two numbers seem to be the light bulb moment has gone on. Looking forward to Ocean's Reserve today, and when you sat down, I checked, because you've got one coming up on Sunday. We're going to take a look at Belmont, May 28th. Brennan's War is going to finish second here. 2 down, the number 6 wins. Brennan's War for Bonaventure will run second. You say he's going to be entered on Sunday. Give us some thoughts about Brennan's War. I will say, my grandmother's maiden name, so I like to root for you guys anyway, but I am adding that angle in as well.
He ran his first 4 or 5 races long on the turf, and he kept getting caught. So we shortened him up to sprint on the turf. He's a different horse. So his last 3 races have been very, very good. He's improving in every race. And again, we're hopeful that Sunday is the right one.
Yeah, another just missed effort that I remember being in the studio like, oh, just got run down a little bit late. Looking forward to that one coming up on Sunday again, Brennan's War. And you said when I got in touch with you about coming on the show, you said we might have one in, a first-time starter on Saturday. When you sat down, it looks like we'll look for this one going forward. But I pulled up the workout video because this one was in the Gulfstream sale when we were down there Florida Derby weekend. So I probably saw this one go through the ring. Surprise payoff. Be a first-time starter. Nice little workout here. But I asked you when you sat down, I looked at the results, and the horse worked 10 flat here before the Gulfstream sale, but it was a reserve not attained horse. And you guys, you said when you sat down, I said, so how'd you end up with the horse that didn't sell at the sale? Give us the story.
So the story is, quickly, that I was on a train coming back from New York City, having just watched the St. Bonaventure Bonnies in the NIT tournament. And my phone rang, and George Weaver, our trainer, who is a very quiet, kind of down-to-earth guy, on the phone, and he said, I'm at the Fasig Tipton sale. We have to buy this horse. And I said, George, I'm not in the market for another horse. He said, we have to buy this horse. I've never heard George so excited about a horse before. And he said, it didn't meet its reserve. We can get the horse for that price. Let's go get it. So I said, go ahead. 10 minutes later, he called me back and said, we have him. And he said, thank you very much. This horse is going to be a runner.
Nice. And so what are the reports so far?
Well, he's going to be a runner, just like George said. We know he's fast. He's very, very quick. He explodes out of the gate. The question is, how far can he carry that speed? And we'll see in early August, because he's just about ready to race.
Very good. So you're looking for a surprise payoff as the horse. You'll be looking for a race within the next couple of weeks for him. So we're looking forward to that one. Dan, we appreciate the visit. Before we let you go, one more time, remind people if they're interested in maybe participating in a partnership and learning a little more about Bonaventure. There's the website
there.
How can people find out more?
They can contact me. They can find me here at the track every day, or just send us an email or a text, and we'll get right back to them and get them engaged.
And again, visit the website, bonaventurestables.com, for more information as well. And as I said, I have been to some of your events. I know some of the local folks were involved, and I guarantee you will have a lot of fun. And hopefully we'll see that being demonstrated this afternoon after the fourth race, or maybe on Sunday, maybe both. That would be a nice start to the meet.
Hopefully we'll see you all in the winner's circle today.
That'll be the game.
That'll be fun, huh?
Yeah. Dan, appreciate the visit. Good luck.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right, we'll wrap it up for this edition of Racing Across America. Seth Merrow and Anthony Mormino, thanks for tuning in. And thanks for tuning in a little earlier as well for the Handicappers Report. We'll do it all again tomorrow at 9 a.m. for the Handicappers Report, and at 10 a.m. for Racing Across America. So enjoy the racing this afternoon. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.